You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Trees, mountains, a curious kittadu.
It's time for the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
That is the sound of love in the South Pacific Ocean, and the topic for today's show. This week on the Green Desk, we're talking about sealing the deal with PhD student Sophia Voltsky, who has co-authored a paper on polyamorous southern elephant seals on Macquarie Island. The University of Tasmania, Voltsky's place of study, has been observing populations of seals on Macquarie Island since the 1950s. Adult males can weigh up to 4,000 kgs, and they dominate the space and the beach along with the female population. So we asked Voltsky what they'd found in the data over the past 70 years.
What we're seeing is that at a specific point in their development, the male survival really declines, which is exactly when they are socially maturing to be able to mate and have access to females on the beaches when they want to come ashore to breed.
So by the time they get to breeding age, basically the weaker males or the younger ones have less opportunity with the bigger ones kind of taking up all the partners.
Yes, and the interesting part is that in the male development, they become biologically mature, so they'd be physically capable of reproducing from, say, 6 years old, but socially, to be competitive, they need to continue growing and become bigger and bigger to even have a chance at competing with other dominant males. So they probably won't have a chance at mating until they're about 10 to 12 years old. So they have to spend more time at sea foraging every single year and growing and growing and practicing, even practicing how to fight with other males before they would ever get a chance at being a reproductive male.
And so how does one reproductive, well, a male coming into maturity around that 10, 11, 12-year-old mark, how does it graduate from being a bachelor a bachelor without any mates to actually taking over that top spot?
Yeah, so the males come ashore early before the breeding season starts in August, and they might practice or fight amongst each other. They might challenge a dominant male and lose and then come back the following year and try again. I guess you can also graduate slowly by first taking over some assistant responsibilities of defending a harem of females rather than reproducing with them. So sometimes if there is enough females in a group, you might be allowed on the beach by the dominant male as an assistant role when they need help defending their harem.
This all sounds quite medieval almost.
Yeah, it's very interesting social structure, and it all boils down to the mating system they are a part of. This polygamous mating system and their extreme sexual dimorphism is what's underpinning the differences in survival as well. So the males need to sustain this extremely large body mass, and they need to find a lot of food in the ocean during the year. And when they come ashore to breed, they need to be fasting because there's no food on land, but they need to spend a lot of time on land to be able to be competing with other males or to defend the females that are grouping up on the beach.
So is this quite a normal, or how prevalent is this kind of social structure for animals in the animal kingdom to have this kind of very different way of breeding compared with what we think of monogamous relationships?
Yeah, we see it a lot in some marine mammals, like other seals as well, or yeah, even whales sometimes, but on land, we have a lot of ungulates, which are your hoofed animals, your sheep, And deer, for example, have a lot of sexual dimorphism. If you think of the big antlers that the male deer might have, that's a part of sexual dimorphism. It doesn't have to be extreme body mass between males and females. It can be things like a decoration antler or a colour difference. We think of that a lot in birds where you have different colours of males and females. So that still counts as sexual dimorphism.
So what exactly is dimorphism? It's like having a physical attribute to attract the other sex?
Yes. Yes, or two different physical attributes between the sexes.
Mm.
And it usually boils back down to mating. Yes.
Like with most things in the animal kingdom.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so have you actually been to the Macquarie Islands yourself, or have you just been working off the data that you've been given?
I've been working off the data. So I have my supervisors that are also my co-authors for this paper are the ones that were there collecting this information back in the 1990s even. And they have been really good at giving me all the context I need to work with the data that I have. And I've worked with this data set for a long time, but I've not been to Macquarie Island yet. Hopefully I'll get the chance
at some point. Is that on the cards? What's keeping you?
What's keeping us, I guess, it takes a long time to compute the types of models that I do. So it is a desk-based project. And because I'm looking at long-term changes in survival, one extra year of data won't make that much of a difference in terms of what I want to be doing. So I need to be spending my time on my computer to be most productive. And field work takes up a major component of a PhD if you have a field PhD. So if I go, it'll be as part of volunteering my time to someone else's project rather than spending my project on Macquarie Island. That makes sense.
Yeah, well, and for any listeners kind of who don't know where Macquarie Island is, it's far, far away kind of, half the way to Antarctica. Is that the one?
Yeah, exactly. So we call it a sub-Antarctic island. It's in the Southern Ocean, and it's right in between where we are, both Tasmania and New Zealand, and the Antarctic. It's about halfway.
So, yeah, it's for anyone that knows where Auckland Island is, which is still far away, Macquarie Island is even further. So I imagine there's not a lot of nightclubs or restaurants or...
No, none. Not at all.
And that's this week's Green Desk. Thank you so much to Sophia Voltsky for talking to us, and we'll see you all next week.
That was the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B-card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.